Sniffles. All right, Sniffles. Well, this is my very first time ever doing an Easter morning service, so you'll have to kind of like see all these beautiful flowers in the field out there. This is the day that we do celebrate Resurrection Day. And today, I'm going to focus a little bit on the resurrection, but the main thing that I want to kind of highlight is a benefit, the benefits of the resurrection. And so we're going to be looking at Psalm 103 again. And this psalm just is continually on my heart and continually blowing my mind. But first of all, in Psalm 103, verse 2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And the last time I shared, we didn't record it on purpose because I got this motto at work. We do it right because we do it twice. So, like, you know, if we don't get it right the first time, we come up and we get a second whack at it, and then we get it right because we do it twice. But really, the truth is we do it three or four times before we get it just right. So this is round two. But now, this is one of these psalms that, it's one of these passages of Scripture. You couldn't hear that?
Well, it's not on.
What? Oh, it's not on yet. Okay. No big deal. I'll talk louder. God knows I can't hear that well. So I usually talk loud anyway. But, should I wait, Gary? Hello. Did we get it?
Oh, yeah.
That was nice.
Man, Peter was up.
All right. Probably Tammy's fault.
Yeah, you're on.
Yeah.
Tammy forgot to do something, I'm sure. All right. Can I? Yeah. We were laughing on the way here. When we get to heaven, we're going to find out how many head-on collisions we almost missed because we were late. You know, we're always late, and the Lord's going to say, "You were supposed to be late. You would have died way earlier." You know, but back to where I was at. You know, this is Easter Sunday, and typically you would hear a message about, you know, the empty tomb and, you know, the cross and Jesus raising from the dead. But what I wanted to focus on today was the benefit for us today because of the resurrection, okay? So I'm going to start with your classic Easter story here. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. And I'm going to just read some of these verses. Anne already stole it. But moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you were saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. And after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time. You know, this is the day that worldwide we celebrate and reflect on the greatest event in human history and the complete history of the world as we know it. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most stellar and important event that mankind will ever know. There's never going to be an event that's greater. So this message is a focus, though, on the results, and that's why I chose Psalm 103. Psalm 103 really rises to the occasion because it is just riddled with benefits of what we have as believers in Jesus Christ. And these wonderful realities cause our hearts to just explode with praise to our Maker, Jesus Christ. This psalm, Psalm 103, it starts with a phrase and it ends with the same exact phrase. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So, you know, this psalm in my life has become one of those, like, kind of mountain peaks that's way above the clouds. Like, you see a mountain range and clouds all around it. And then if you're in an airplane and you look at, you can see this peak up through the cloud. And that's kind of what this reminds me of, this psalm in my life. For 50 years, the Holy Spirit has been bringing me back to this very psalm and feeding my soul from this psalm. It's actually really kept me with my eyes on Jesus, to be honest with you. Every time I start to get, like, depressed or in a slump or going in the wrong direction, the Holy Spirit always tends to remind me, hey, remember this? You know, and so that's been part of my life. And I think it's a wonderful thing when you have passages of scripture like that and you seem to kind of be drawn back to them. Don't neglect them. Always go back to them, because I think the Holy Spirit is trying to give you further light and deeper richness from the passage, and he's trying to feed your soul with it. You know, this is, you know, life is really hard. Let's face it. But, you know, no one has it easy. And everyone has their own particular struggle. I mean, I personally have my own particular struggles. But, you know, Jesus is our hope. He's our only hope. No matter how long you live, and no matter who you are, or what you've been through, or what you're going through, or what you're about to go through, there's one thing that'll never change. Human beings need Jesus Christ. And that's just the truth. He gave himself to us. And he knows what we need. And brothers and sisters, we need Jesus. And, you know, I kind of get a little uptight every now and then when people say, well, you know, that's such a pat answer. You know, like, give me something that, you know, that I can really use that'll really help me with this problem I'm dealing with. Well, I got to tell you, it's not a bad answer. Jesus Christ is your only hope. He is the only answer for everything that human beings face. There's nothing else but Jesus. And that's not a bad answer. When somebody says, well, I got this problem, what do you think I should do? I'd say, go to Jesus. And they say, yeah, but I got this problem, what should I do? Go to Jesus. And I found in my life, and we've been married for 45 years, Tim and I, we need Jesus, right? I mean, we have come, you know, it's the thing that's kept us in love with each other. It's because we have a common goal. We have a Savior that loves us, and he gave himself for us, and he continues to give himself for us. And, like, in our marriage, it's like, if we didn't have Jesus, who knows what would have happened? Because we need Jesus. We need, and Jesus kept it into a wonderful relationship that we have. He did that. We didn't do it. And we have 5 children, 5 son-in-laws, and 12 grandchildren. And that's all from the Lord. And you know what? Every one of those people I just mentioned, they all need Jesus. All my grandchildren need Jesus. All my son-in-laws need Jesus. All my daughters need Jesus. Tammy and I, we need Jesus. And you know, the thing is that's so cool is as you grow as a believer and you grow in the heart knowledge of Christ, you realize, well, you know, he's inviting me to know him. He wants me to know him. He's done everything he can for us to know him. So I'm going to read Psalm 103 because I just want to get this before our hearts, and then I'm going to just discuss probably like the first few verses, because every verse in this psalm is just like a stellar revelation of Christ and his love and his grace toward his church. So let me go ahead and read that. If you want to open up to it, follow along, it'd be cool. That's Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. This is hard for me because it's so powerful to my soul. But who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses. And I'll stop here for a second. He made known his ways to Kent through the new covenant and through the blood that he shed and drew me into himself. And that's what he showed to Moses. And we're going to look at that the next time I share out of this psalm. But that's a kind of its own story. So I'm going to just keep reading. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, his hosts, you ministers who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time together, Lord. We thank you. We just can't express, human words can't express the infinite glory of your presence here today. Lord, we see you here today with the eyes of our heart, with the eyes of faith. And Lord, when we read these wonderful truths in your word like this, this song that was meant to sing, Lord, our hearts sing along with it. And Lord, we want to extol you and exalt and praise to you, Lord Jesus. And may each heart here just look to you today and say, bless the Lord, O my soul. You are such a great God and Savior. And Lord, we ask that you just minister to each one of us today, Lord. And Lord, make this message clear and reveal yourself to our hearts. Lord, we know that only the Holy Spirit can reveal God to the human heart. And so, Lord, we ask that you would reveal the Lord and Savior Jesus to us in a fresh way today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, by the way, this psalm here is written by King David. And these are meant to be sung. Could you imagine us sitting here singing this song? This would like take a while. But anyway, the point is, this is after King David's horrible fall into sin with adultery and murder. So I just like to keep that in the backdrop, because I have a backdrop of my horrible sin and my horrible days of not having my eyes on the Lord and going my own direction and being blown by every wind of everything that come down the pike. So I have that past, so I can kind of relate to David in that way. But David got something here that just turned his heart toward the Lord, to the point where he's just saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. Like, even after what he did, like you know, it's easy to say, well, I never committed adultery. I never murdered anybody. But David did. And David, the Lord brought David to a point where he could say, bless the Lord, O my soul. He forgives all your sin. Now, I'd like to stop there for a minute because, you know, that has, it through my life, like I was saying earlier, through my life, all my sin was hung around my neck. I was heading for the dungeons of hell. My rebellion was against the Lord and the Lord alone. But the Lord Jesus, in his great mercy toward me, when he drew me out of sin, he forgave it all. And if we read down in the, like in verse 12 of this psalm, he remembers it no more. And I think that's an amazing thing. See, I have a really hard time forgetting my past. But the Holy Spirit says here, he remembers it no more. And how much of my sin did he forgive? He forgave it all. And how much of my sin, when I finally came to Christ and gave myself to him, how much of it was in my future? There was a good bit. But he forgave it all. And he's taken our, he remembers our transgressions no more. And a transgression is a little different than the original sin that we came, that we were born with. A transgression is when you know not to do something and the Lord has shown you you shouldn't do that and you do it anyway. It's like, that's a transgression. And he remembers them no more. And David is saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. This is amazing. And see, when you can really get into the reality of this truth, that's what keeps your eyes on Jesus. That's what keeps you moving toward the light. That's what keeps you wanting, having that hunger and that desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior. Because remember Adam and Eve in the garden? When they knew they sinned against God and they realized they were naked, they were uncovered, they were ashamed to be in God's presence. And what did they do? They tried to hide from God. And that's when we let our past drag us down, and when we let the sin that we wallowed in make us ashamed before God, it makes us want to hide from God. That's why what we're seeing here is, it's gone. And he remembers it no more. You know, God doesn't have any infirmities, okay? God cannot forget something. He chooses to remember it no more. He's put it behind his back. And I love this. I don't want to jump too far ahead because we're going to look at this a little more depth later. But as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. You know, the east and west never touch. You can keep going west and never start going east. I'm glad he didn't say as far as the north is from the south, because there's a limit on that. There is no limit to this forgiveness that our great God and Savior has afforded for us by his death and burial and resurrection. And David laid hold of that. So what David did with that, with, when he sinned and committed adultery and murdered Uriah, and that, those were transgressions. And that's why David later in the psalm, he highlights that. They're remembered no more. And David could stand in the presence of his Maker clean. So, you know, in these first three verses, the word all is used four times there, right? And that's why David is able to say, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Because he's forgiven all the sin. You know, all is a big word here. All that is within me, bless his holy name. When by faith, which is also a gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, like I don't even have any faith. He's given it to me. It's a gift. Then we enter in by faith to the benefits of the Lord. It could all be also said, you could also say it this way, the benefits of the Lord are the knowledge of Christ, of knowing who Jesus is. It could be said that way. Bless his holy name. You know, his holy name, his, the word holy, you know, it's kind of a weird sounding word, like you hear it, like, ooh, that's holy, you know. But it's not weird at all. Really what it means is it means he's different than us. He's not us. He's not like us. He's different. And he has these attributes. He can forgive sins. The Bible says that only God can forgive sins. Like, we can forgive others' trespasses against us, but we can't take them away in the presence of the Father. But only the blood of Christ can do that. You know, and that's what it means when it says, bless his holy name. He's different than we are. Christ is the giver, and we're the ones who benefit. You know, we're all need, and he's all supply. You know, the Lord Jesus has complete, unlimited resources toward his church. And he loves his children. And he'll do anything to move you into a deeper heart relationship with him. How can you not bless the Lord when you think about this? How can your heart not be saying, praise God, he's forgiven all my sin? Like, you can't get that anywhere. You can't go to Tractor Supply and buy one of them. Like, that has to come through the blood of Christ, through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, like, a lot of times people would just, like, flip out if they hit the Mega Millions lottery, like the jackpot, like, yes, right? But you know what, saints, we have more than that. We have something way more valuable than that. We have him. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious Lamb of God. You know, when the Holy Spirit gives you a revelation, you see Christ, and you internalize it in your soul, you know what happens? It has to come out. It has to come out in praise to your Maker. Like, when you realize what a great God and Savior who has forgiven all your sins. And you know, by the way, David starts with, he's forgiven all my iniquities, all of them, right? And when he started with that, he had to start with that. That's the only way that we could come to the Father, is through the blood of Christ and through the forgiveness of all our sins. You can't come before the Father with a stain, a spot, or a wrinkle. You can't. You can only come cleansed in the blood of Christ. And that's why I said a few minutes ago, we need Jesus. We need the blood that he shed for us. How can you not just pour out? I mean, it just pours out of you, like, when you think about it. Now, I don't mean in public. Like, I don't want to sound like a fanatic, but, like, when you meditate and you internalize these truths as the Holy Spirit reveals them to your heart, you cannot help but thank the Lord. You cannot help but bless God and just speak well of him and bow your heart and fall to your knees and say, thank you, Jesus. Because we have something that the world doesn't have. You know, it's just so often we find ourselves, like, down in the dumps, you know, frustrated, and I'm speaking to myself also, angry, lonely, sometimes full of fear, full of doubt, sometimes full of unbelief. You know, all these different things. When the reality is, we have unlimited reasons to bless the Lord. You know, and like, and that's what I'm trying to share with you. In my life, like, some days, like, I'll be like, man, you know, this didn't work, that broke, this didn't, you know, I ran out of gas, whatever it might be. And my reaction to that sometimes is not very Christian, you know. And I find myself, like, angry and I'm tight about it. And, like, Sometimes I get depressed. Sometimes I'm like, why is it got to be? Why is this happening? Why did my children have this problem? Why is this, you know? And like, the thing is, I have to come back to this. I'm not going to ever lose. I have been forgiven of all my debt before the only one that it matters, before the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, so I would just say, I would take this word to heart. Like, when you start to, like, go through these circumstances and you feel like, man, you know, this isn't going well and this ain't going to end well. But if you're a believer, it's going to end better than you think. It's going to end well. It's going to be awesome when we stand before Jesus and we see him face to face. It's going to be worth the wait. So, you know, he's our only hope as believers. And so Jesus is the answer. He's our only answer. So we have every reason to constantly be a people like David. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise God for what he's done through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why David starts his psalm this way and he ends it this way. Because what he's doing is he's letting this truth soak into his heart, through his head. And when you see, oh my soul, the word soul here really is a collective part of the unseen part of you. It's your thoughts, it's your will, it's your emotions. And David's saying, everything I got in me, I'm going to just bless the Lord. I am going to come to him and I'm going to say, Lord, you are awesome. You are just worthy of praise. So, you know, spiritually, as believers, no matter what it looks like on the surface, somebody might be in the hospital with cancer. Somebody might have some tragedy going on in their life. But spiritually, we are constantly under the Lord's care. And that's what this psalm teaches us. It doesn't matter what you're going through. He is spiritually constantly working on your behalf. And he continues to work. You know, how can we not praise the Lord when we think of these things? For of him and to him and through him are all things. That's our Lord and Savior. I can sing this song with David because by faith I've entered into it. And that's a gift of God. It's not like I achieved something, right? The Lord gave it to me. He allowed me to enter into this. And I can have a heart that is full of praise no matter what my past looks like, no matter what my future looks like. I can still praise the Lord because of who he is, not because of who I am. You know, I bring nothing to the table. And he's given all for us. For every believer. By faith, you can enter into it. You know, if I didn't believe this, there's no way I would stand up here and say what I'm saying today. And the only reason I believe it is because Jesus has given me the faith to believe it. Because I know my past. He remembers it no more. And I just praise him for that. His great work on my behalf, apart from him, I'm a miserable wretch. And that's the truth. And I know it. And that's why, along with David, I say, bless the Lord, O my soul. You can own these truths by meditating on them, by making them your own. And the Lord is inviting his church to see Christ for who he is. Christ is all. And don't forget all his benefits, David said. And the list is probably limitless, the benefits of the Lord, who forgives all your sins. Not only forgives all our sins, but he's removed them. And you know what else he's done? Because he's taken the fallen nature of man and forgiven it, and the rottenness that constantly wants to pump out of the fallen man, he's healing all our diseases. He's taking our life in a different direction. And you know, that, like, I know a lot of people take this verse and they say, well, they go to the hospital and they lay hands on people and they say, well, you know, Jesus, by faith, he's healed all your diseases. He's healed all our diseases, you'll see. When you stand before him, you know, like later in this psalm, David points out how quick life is. You flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. I mean, if we didn't have tombstones, we wouldn't even know people died. You know, they just live and they're gone, you know. And the idea is, he heals all your diseases. If you got a little ailment right now, or you got cancer, or you got some problem you're going to die from, don't worry, you're healed. He heals all our diseases. And they are inclusive in he forgives all our sins. And he's removed all our transgressions from us. And in that, that's why David said, all that is within me, how can I not bless the Lord? How can I not stand and proclaim his greatness in the congregation of saints? How can I not? When I've laid hold of this, all my sins are forgiven. You have no idea how many times the Holy Spirit reminds me of that. That's how much I need to be reminded of it. They're all forgiven. There is no charge against me in the eyes of my Maker. And he's inviting me to come, like the song Tammy sang today. You know, then it goes on to say in verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction? You know, like, there's a temporary meaning to this that I've made my own. Like, my life was heading for the rocks. I was going to crash on the rocks. It would have been over for me. You know, the direction I was living a Christless existence, and I was moving in the wrong direction. But he purchased me from that life and that future with his own blood. And he saved me from that imminent destruction. But this also means that he's taken us from death into life. We once were heading for the pit of the lake of fire and the deepest dungeon of hell. That's where we were going. But he redeemed our life from destruction. And the way he did it was by shedding his blood and forgiving all my sin. That's something to bless the Lord about, I would say. So my heart says, bless the Lord. You know, he redeems my daily life from destructive things, even to the, you know, now. I mean, I get this, you know, like, dark idea, I should do that. And the Holy Spirit says, yeah, that would be bad. That would be destructive. Don't do that. So I'm like, okay, I won't. Like, but you got to give me the strength not to do it, because I'm going to do it if you don't stop me. But the Lord is good. So he saved me from the future of eternal separation from him. You know, and verse 4 goes on to say, he not only took us from a smut-filled future, but he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. In other words, like, he took this filthy rag of who I was, and he set me in a different place and put a crown on my head. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I mean, that's why David is so, like, turned on to praising the Lord, you know. Not only did he save me from destruction, but he sets a crown on my head. And this is a crown of mercy. This isn't a crown of mercy, of merit, excuse me. Like, oh, I did so much good, now I can... No, this is a crown of mercy. I did nothing to deserve to be crowned with loving kindness and tender mercy. You know, Jesus not only pardoned, he gives a pardon to us, but he gives acceptance. And you know, that's why it's so important that he's forgotten our past. Because now all he sees is our glorious future in Christ Jesus. And that's an amazing truth. I mean, that's something to let your heart extol the Lord over and thank the Lord for. You know, how can we not praise him with all that is in us? When you start to think about that. He's not like, you're forgiven, but don't do it again. It's not like that. It's like he knows us. He knows our future, and he has a wonderful future in store for each believer. And, you know, there's a song where it says, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. And that good theme is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this whole thing about the Lord forgiving our sin and forgiving them all is found in an Old Testament story. It's a night vision of Zechariah. It's found in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1 through 5. And I want to read this, and I'll probably close with this, okay? But I don't want to go too long because it's Easter and everything. But listen to this. So this is Zechariah chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? That's me. A brand plucked from the fire. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. And when you see the angel of the Lord here, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It says Joshua was clothed. And these filthy garments, like if you look this up in the Hebrews, it's like you were dipped in a septic tank. That's how this Joshua was standing before the judge of all the earth. Like he, in the rags, dipped in a septic tank. And then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And he said, and to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. Can you get that by faith? Can you receive that from the Lord by faith? It's his work. It's his doing. He's taking off the filthy garment of the old man and putting on the rich robes of righteousness from Christ. And then, and I said, let him put a clean turban on his head. So that they put a clean turban on his head and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And Jesus is satisfied with the work that he did on the cross. He's taken the filthy garments off of me and put on the righteous robes of righteousness. And also in Revelation chapter 1 verse 6 it says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So it is. That's the way it is. He has taken us from the dungeon to the palace. He has taken us from the filthy works of the flesh to the righteous robes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can only receive that by faith. You could be sitting there saying, yeah, but you know what? None of that matters. All you have to do is reach out to the Lord. The Bible says whoever calls on the Lord will be saved. And that saving, you know, that saving is an ongoing process. And that's what, you know, this when David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, he's saying, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, is salvation. That's what the word Lord means there. You know, Ephesians chapter 1, I'm just going to read a little part of the verse. Chapter 1 and verse 4, and the second part of that is, we are holy and without blame before him in love. And then I really want to kind of like do a couple more verses and then we'll close up, okay? But, you know, it says in verse 5, it says, he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, and this word satisfied, if you look at this word satisfied, it's not saying it's like it's over. This is an ongoing, ever-blessing, moment by moment. He is satisfying our good things himself. And it's the renewal of strength amounting to a new lease on life. That's what it means to be in Christ Jesus. You know, no man apart from Christ is ever filled to satisfaction. You know that? Ask Mick Jagger. He got it right. He can't get no satisfaction. He was right about that. Look at George Soros. So wealthy, so saturated with the world's goods. Look at that guy's face. Is he satisfied? He's so unsatisfied, so empty, so bitter. But in Christ Jesus, only Christ can satisfy the soul of man. And many of us know that. We know it because we've received it. And we know that there is no hope apart from Christ. Jesus is the ever supply of good things. And throughout the ages to come, he will continue to satisfy his people. Throughout the ages to come. For all of eternity. And we will constantly be granted a new lease on life in Christ Jesus. We constantly will see more of Jesus. You know, saints of God, how can we not bless the Lord? How can you, with these truths as they soak and filter down into your heart, how can you not say, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me? Because of his great grace toward us, our future is secure. And it's bright. We have everything to look forward to. We're not facing a decrepit old finish where everything's going to fall apart. We're being renewed day by day. You know, one of my life verses is Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. And that's the day that we're heading toward. We're not heading to a crash and burn end. We're heading toward a glorious Savior who can't wait to receive us into his kingdom. So I'd like to say this. Colossians 2:6. As you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. Now, a lot of times people apply that verse to, like, when you first got saved, don't forget that. You didn't bring anything to the table. That's true. Like, as you received, you got everything when you got Jesus. You didn't bring anything to the table. But I apply this to my life now. When the Lord shows me something new of himself, I apply it now. You know what I mean? I am going to let these truths. And, you know, like, people can say, well, you know, we know we're forgiven. Big deal. No, it is a big deal. It's the big deal. There's no bigger deal. Because we would not be in Jesus if we weren't forgiven. You know, like, tell me something new. There's nothing new. If you don't got this, you don't got anything. You have to have the forgiveness of sins by faith. And that's a gift of God. So, I'll just shut up right there and thank you for your attention. There is one other thing I wanted to read, but like if you don't mind, I'd like to read it. Do you mind?
No, go for it.
I thought this was pretty cool. This is worth it. Okay, you ready? Here it comes. Right here. Okay. This is Holy Week. Christians around the world remember the crucifixion of God's only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And on Easter Sunday, we celebrate his glorious resurrection and proclaim, as Christians have done for nearly 2,000 years, he is risen. Through the pain and sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, we saw God's boundless love and devotion to all humanity. And in that moment of his resurrection, history was forever changed with the promise of everlasting life. As we approach this joyous Easter Sunday, I want to wish Christians everywhere a happy and very blessed holiday. America is a nation of believers. We need God. We want God. And with His help, we will make our nation stronger, safer, greater, and more prosperous, and more united than ever before. Happy Easter. I'm going to ask a question. Does anybody know who posted that?
Trump.
Is that awesome or what? That is the mercy of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for every believer here, Lord, for everybody that's seeking you, for everybody that is growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And Lord, we just thank you so much that you gave yourself for us. And Lord, you continue to give yourself for us. You give and give and give and give. Lord, make us a group of people that forget not all your benefits. That, Lord, that we receive all that you give. And we just give you the honor, the glory. And, Lord, along with King David, when he wrote this song so many thousands of years ago, we agree. We want to bless the Lord with all that is within us. And we thank you for your great grace that's upon us and for the great grace that's upon this nation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.